the Lord, everybody. You can be seated for just a moment. Amen. It is so good to, well, let me just say this. It's just good to be able to be in church today for me. There's only two places I would rather be than right here. Only two. One is heaven, and the other one is in my pulpit in Deweyville, but I can't do that right now because I've got about 7 inches to a foot of water in our church. But if my people could have got there today, we would have had church there today. Amen. But they're just not able to arrive there. And so it's all good. It's all good. Amen. I stand before you today as a houseless preacher, but not a homeless preacher. Because my home is not of this world. I don't have a home here. My home is beyond here. Anybody else feel that way today? You may have a house here, but you don't have a home here. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up, not in Deweyville, Texas. That's where moth and rust doth corrupt. But my treasures are laid up in a city. Amen. So I come to you today happy in the Lord. I am not defeated. I am not in despair. Amen. I may be a little shell-shocked, but I'm not defeated today. Amen. And I am glad to have my wife and my sons with me. It is so good to be here. We love Brother and Sister Pugh. Her dad, Brother Colgrove, was a presbyter in our Texas district, and I was privileged to sit under him during mantle meetings and things of that nature. And the Colgrove family and the Pugh family are just wonderful, wonderful people. Amen. And so I'm honored to be with you today. Amen. Well, I want to say on behalf of the Gulf, I guess I could just say the Golden Triangle area. I know that's what you're doing. Thank you for what you're going to do for our area. Amen. It is a tremendous, tremendous blessing. And I want to thank you in advance for all of those that will not be able to say that to you. Thank you. And Brother Pugh is right. Anything that you can send right now will definitely be a godsend. This is a catastrophic devastation like none that I've ever really seen. And so many millions of people have been affected. And so thank you for opening your hearts and opening your closets and opening your billfolds and opening your pantries. Thank you for everything that you are doing to make life a little easier in that area. And God's going to bless you for that. Amen. I teach it to our church. I know your pastor does here. You can't outgive God. But let me tell you, verse 2, you can't outstingy God either. God's got the tightest fist in the world if you want to be tight-fisted with God. But he's got the biggest resources if you want to open up to God. Amen. So thank you so much for doing that. Let's preach. Let's preach. Brother Pugh called me yesterday and said, you want to come preach? And I said, no, I really don't. I don't really think I'm in the mindset to do that. I don't know that I want to do that. And I was riding down the road with my oldest son, and the Lord began to spank me. You ever had the Lord kind of give you a whipping before? So the Lord whipped me because I have 7 young ministers in my church that I mentor on a monthly basis. We have MIT meetings, and I have one that when something goes wrong or something happens in his life, he always runs to the office. He goes, Pastor, I can't preach tonight. Okay. He just did it last time. I said, no. I said, you're going to preach. As a matter of fact, I'm going to tell you what to preach. I'm going to make your life easy. Here's what you're going to preach. So I was riding down the road yesterday after I told Brother Pugh I couldn't come, and the Lord began to give me a good spanking. He said, now you've told all these young ministers when they have trouble, they still preach. And you're just going to bail out and ride around in your truck. I said, no, I'm not. I picked the phone up. I said, hey, if you still want me, I'll be there tomorrow. So here we are. Here we are. And God's going to do something in this house today. Amen. Would you stand in honor of the word of God? I'm going to read you one verse. And then the Holy Ghost is going to speak to us for a few moments in this house this day. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. You may have promises and dreams, and you may be in a storm right now, but you have to be confident that if he's begun the work, he will bring it to pass. No storm, no devil, no individual, no trial, no test, no hurricane, if he started the work, he will perform it. Would you lift your hands and worship the Lord in this house right now for just a few moments? Hallelujah. Let the Holy Ghost do a work today. Let the Holy Ghost speak into this house today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You can be seated for just a few moments. Just help me preach, if you will. Amen. I've got a couple of different titles today. My first title would be this. It's just a chapter. It's not the whole book. You like that? It's just a chapter. It's not the whole book. And then my second title will be, and this will come later in my message if the Lord lets me get there. I would simply title it this. After this. After this. We have the privilege of looking at people's lives in the Word of God from this side. Just think about this for a moment. We have the privilege of looking back at Adam and Eve and Noah and Moses and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And the brother spoke about it this morning in the sacrifice on the altar. And it's easy for us to look back at that story now and say, just hang in there because we know what's going to happen. He didn't know what was going to happen. It's different when you are living the story instead of reading the story. It's a whole different ball game. It's a whole different concept when it's me in the storm or when I am reading a story about the storm. Some of my favorite reading is True Life. I don't care a lot about stuff that's not real. That's just my deal. I think we live in a world of fantasy anyway, and so I like to read True Life stuff. And so I picked the book up about Sully. He was the guy that captained the airplane that landed in Hudson Bay. Y'all remember all that in the harbor in New York, and he landed at an amazing feat. And so I picked that story up, and I couldn't put it down. I read the book just about in a day. I just kept sitting here. My wife wanted me to get honeydew chores done, and I just wanted to read. Thankfully, she forgave me. But it's easy for me to go back and read that book because I know the plane's going to land safe. And I know they're not going to lose one person on that flight. And I know that Sully's going to do an amazing job in landing that plane in Hudson. And I know that even though birds have struck both engines, that it's still going to be okay. But for all of those passengers in that jet, and for that pilot and that captain that day, this is a whole different ball game because they're not reading a story. They are living a story. And you and I, ladies and gentlemen, are characters in the story today. It is our story, but he is authoring our story. And we do not have the privilege of seeing things from the outcome back to the onset. We are not like God. We don't see things from the end to the beginning. But here's what I have learned in going through storms. It teaches me to walk by faith and not by sight. It teaches me to trust an unknown future to a known God. It teaches me that he is the author and he is the finisher of my faith. It teaches me that I cannot lean to my own understanding, but in all of my ways I must acknowledge him and know that he will direct my path. We have to live in the story and know that the steps of a good man are ordered by God. Even though we know all of this stuff, it's still easy in the heat of the moment to get stuck in a chapter. It's easy to get stuck in a scene or in an event. I'm going to preach to everybody in this room. Let me just say this. Let me just preach to me and y'all listen in. How about that? We just make a deal right now. All right, we'll just shake on it. I'll preach to me. Y'all just listen in, and maybe this will help somebody here today. Because I'm going to tell you something. I may be going through a physical storm, but some of you are going through spiritual storms right now. And it's easy to get stuck in that event. Are you with me right now? It is easy to get stuck in that scene of the moment. It's easy to get stuck in a chapter. But I've got to tell you in the Holy Ghost today, it's just one chapter. It's not the whole book. Just because they close the curtain, that doesn't mean the drama's over. They're just changing the props. And when they open the curtains, it's going to look very different than when they close them. It's just a chapter. It's not the whole book. So here's what the devil wants to do. He wants you to get stuck in a chapter of pain and suffering. Some of you, I pastor a church, and I know. I don't even have to have a spirit of discernment. I don't even have the Holy Ghost working in me right now. Some of you are dealing with sickness right now. Am I right? I'm not the prophet nor the son of a prophet. But some of you are dealing with sickness right now. And the devil wants you to get stuck there. But here's what you have to understand. That's just a chapter. You may turn the page. Come on, somebody. And the great physician may show up in the next chapter. That's why you can't die in this chapter. That's why you can't let the adversary win in this chapter. That's why you can't throw the towel in and say, I'm over. It's just a chapter. Just let the author, let him turn the page, and the healer may show up in the next chapter. The deliverer may show up in the next chapter. For my family and our church and our community right now, he wants us to get stuck in a chapter of loss. I'm going to show you some pictures here in a moment, but he wants us to die in this chapter. But here's what I'm going to tell you again. It's just a chapter. Chapters are the culmination or make up the culmination of a book. Listen to me. Go home and get your favorite book that you have read. Cut out a chapter and the book is not the same. Come on, somebody. I'm talking to somebody in the Holy Ghost right now. Because I know you're wanting out of this chapter right now. I know you're ready to get out of this chapter. But if God don't write this chapter in my world right now, I can't get to the next chapter in my life. So I've got to put the pen in the hand of the author. And I've got to let him author this chapter of my world. If you don't go through this chapter, you can't make it to the next. And you'll never have a completed book when you get to the end. Let him author the chapter that you're in now. I'm going to be honest because I'm just a realist today. This is not my favorite chapter right now. Matter of fact, if Harvey was real, I'd bust him in his mouth right now. I don't like Harvey.
He said he wouldn't even come preach.
I called Brother Pugh yesterday cutting up. I said, I just need to know if you got anybody in your church named Harvey before I show up. He said, I don't. I said, good, I'm coming then. Because me and Harvey are not on speaking terms right now. This is not my favorite chapter. But God didn't ask me what was my favorite. He asked me to walk by faith. God didn't put the pen in my hand and say, write your own chapter. He said, you trust me while I write your chapter. So here's what you have to do. You have to get ready in this chapter because the next chapter are going to be miracles and signs and wonders. I'm not preaching you something to hype you up. I'm going to tell you, I have already been through a flood. I'm going to get there in a moment. I'm not preaching you something I don't know. God is fixing the right blessings into the next scene of somebody's life in this church. I'm speaking to somebody's spirit that God is fixing to take what the devil has meant for evil, and God is fixing to turn it. And the enemy can't stop it. and your family can't stop it, and the adversary can't stop it. He's going to turn it for good. With everything David had been through, with all the attempts to take his life, dodging javelins and swords, running for his life, hiding in caves in the earth, yet David stopped and he said this, hiding in the cave of Adullam, he says this, I will bless the Lord at all times. Come on, somebody. David said this, I shall not die, but live and declare the glory of the Lord. It's just a chapter. See, too many people get stuck and they think, this is the whole book. No, no, no. It's just a chapter. We're not done yet. The author's not finished yet. He's writing a chapter. What's Joseph's life? I did a several-week study at my church on the life of Joseph. You have not studied his life. You really should. An amazing, amazing young man. He had dreams. I told our church this, sometimes it's not good to tell everybody your dreams and get you thrown in a pit somewhere. Yeah. Well, I had this dream. Sometimes dreams are better kept to self. Somewhere between Joseph's dreams and the fulfillment, there's some chapters that had to be lived out. So you never get a dream and then 30 minutes later get a fulfillment. You get a dream, are you ready? Then all of hell breaks loose in your world. Then you get a fulfillment. So my question is, do you really want a dream? Because if you want a dream, get ready for the gates of hell to open up against you. Because he's going to do everything he can to stop the dream. But if you're willing to stay in the story. Maybe that should be my question for everybody in this building right now. Are you willing to stay in the story while he's still writing? Joseph, can you hang out in this story long enough until you make it to the palace? Because if you can stay here long enough, you're not going to be in a pit. You're going to be sitting in a palace. But you got to stay in the story. So his brother stripped him of his clothes. There's so much jealousy in this family and amongst these siblings. And they put him in a pit, but that's just a chapter. Turn the page. He's 17 years old. He's sold into Ishmaelite slavery for 20 pieces of silver. As a matter of fact, if you study that out, back in that day, the price of a slave was like 30 pieces of silver. They sold their own brother for less than the price of slavery in that day. 20 pieces of silver. But it's just a chapter. It's not over. He's still writing a chapter. He's sold into Potiphar's house, an officer of the guard. He's falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, which lands him in an Egyptian prison. But that's not the whole story. That's just another chapter. He reveals the dream to the butler and the baker while in prison, but he is forgotten upon their dismissal. But that's not the story. That's just another chapter. See, some of us, let me preach to me right now. I'm not preaching to you, I'm preaching to me. I probably wouldn't have made it through this story. I would have been so fuming mad at my own siblings that they would sell me into slavery. I would have been so mad at being falsely accused, my integrity and character being attacked by someone lying on me, that I'm landed in prison, that I would have probably bowed out of the story, but not Joseph. See, here's what we do. We want to know the reason. See, my fleshly side wants to know the reason why I'm going through this again 1 year later. 1 year. My church had 28 inches of water in it, March 2016. Today, as I stand in this pulpit, I have 7 to 12 inches of water in the same remodeled church 1 year later. I've lost two homes, two new homes, 365 days apart, 1 year. My home sits today on our property of 7.5 acres where my parents and I live. My grandmother's on that property. We have a complex. My home has 3 foot of water in it today. I want to know the reason. But if I get stuck in reason, I miss revelation. I don't have to have a reason why God does what he does. Here's what I know. There's going to be revelation that comes out of all of this that you and I are facing today. Watch now, watch, watch. Joseph don't get stuck. He just keeps living in the chapter. He's just living in the moment. The next scene that's played out finds Joseph at 30 years old. 13 years later. My Deweyville math kicked in right there and kind of stumped me. 13 years later. Did you hear me? 13 years later. He's now 30 years old. He's second in command to only Pharaoh. And he saves his family from famine. Because Joseph understood these are chapters of my life. He didn't die in the pit. He didn't quit at Potiphar's house. He didn't throw in the towel in prison. He didn't get bitter because somebody forgot about him that should have remembered him. But he stayed in the story. And 13 years later, he sits on the throne. His family bows to him because his dream said that they would bow with their faces to the ground. And the Bible said when they bowed, their faces were to the ground. You got to learn to stay in the story. See, I believe that God's going to... Are you ready? Watch the words now. Watch the words. I believe God's going to turn your mourning into dancing. I believe God's going to turn your sorrow into joy. You know what you got to do? You got to stay in the story and let the author keep turning pages. I know you don't like it now, Joseph, but you're going to love it when you're sitting on the throne. I know you're frustrated with process right now, but let me just keep writing your story. I know you're trying to figure out why you can't pay your bills, and mom and dad's sick, and your wife's not doing well, and your husband's not living for God, but let me just keep turning pages. Because when it's all said and done, he will turn it around. Let me show you something. Do you have those pictures ready, sister? If you'd put that first slide up. This is March 2016. I'm going to show you what the Lord can do. And let me tell you something. I am not discouraged today. Do not feel sorry for me. I mean that. I don't want sympathy cards, because I'm going to show you how God works. This was March 2016. The flood stage reached 33.3 feet in Deweyville, Texas. It has never hit that stage before. I've lived there for 31 years. My dad pastored 25. I've been on staff for 13, pastoring 6 years now. And we have never had an epic flood like this. I had 24 families, including us, that lost homes. And I'm not talking about damaged. I'm talking about feet in their homes. It took us how many months? 5-6 months to remodel our complete facility. We had to cut every wall out 4 feet. We have about 28,000 square feet in 3 buildings. We cut every wall out 4 feet. We pulled the carpet. We lost an estimated between $40,000 and $50,000 worth of pews. Cut them up with chainsaws and hauled them out. They were no good. Our sound system, let me just tell you this, before this story, before this happened, the year prior to that, we had a water line break in our church. We had 6,000 gallons of water in our church and had just finished a $440,000 remodel because of that damage. Brother Pugh, we finished that 2016 in a brand new remodeled building. This happened. It was beautiful. So, it took us about 5 or 6 months. This was the newly remodeled building. Now, let me tell you about this. After the 2016 flood, our church grew exponentially. We have never had the number of people in our church that we have right now. Never. As a matter of fact, the crowd, you don't see the crowd there, but that's just an empty shot. But the seats you see on any given Sunday, we do services just about like you do. We do 10 to 11. We start our second service at 11:30. Our 11:30 service, we have people now that are in our church, it's been there years, that are having to move seats because their seat's taken at 11:30. I've had to put out more chairs on the, if you're standing in my pulpit right here to the left is a wall. I've had to put out more chairs for my young men to sit because the youth group has grown that much. I'm just telling you what God does if you stay in the chapter. Now watch. So the church was growing. The church is hopping and popping. I could not be happier. We had a ladies' conference scheduled. It's fixing to happen this month in about 6 days or so. I guess this Friday it's fixing to happen. Well, it was going to happen. We canceled that. Harvey didn't want us to have that. God has blessed our church with young ministers. God has blessed our church with musicians. God has blessed our church with singers. Brand new people that have walked in and received the gift of the Holy Ghost. That God has done tremendous things. This is what the building looked like when I left it last Sunday. The next picture is yesterday. It's a man in my church. A couple of men in the church took me and my oldest son in. We went in by the river in a couple of boats because that's the only way you can get around Deweyville right now, believe it or not, is a boat. Or a jacked up side-by-side, and they really don't want you riding those because you're pushing water everywhere. This is our vestibule as of yesterday. I have 7 inches in that vestibule area. That's myself and my son standing there. If you could go to the next shot, please. Is there another picture? Is that it? That's it? Okay. So that's what's in our building as of right now. It had crested, it started falling, but it's going to be a very slow fall because we are between two dams. We have Toledo Bend and we have the railroad tracks, and it just kind of holds. It takes a little while to get out. So that's kind of where my church is now. Now, I told you all that to tell you this. It would be easy for me, it would be real easy for me to die right here in this chapter. Because, folks, I'm going to tell you something. It's making an old man out of me quick. My 43 is turning into about 73 right now. He said, well, what are you talking about? A remodel of 28,000 square feet three times is not fun in 3.5 years. Yeah. Losing 2 homes in 2 years is not fun. Having my folks that had 24 families last year and this year, I know for sure we have 9. And that number will probably go up when they're able to get home and look at their homes. It would be easy for me to die right here in this chapter and say, I am done. I am finished. I am walking away. But I told people in our church, this flood will not drive me away. God called me here and he has not told me to leave here as of yet. Let me tell you why I'm happy. Watch. I've already been through this before, and I watched what God did after it was over. And if God did it the last time, then I'm going to say, ladies and gentlemen, that building's not going to be big enough for what God's about to do after we get home and get it back together. It's just a chapter. It's not the whole story. Lord, give me something the last couple of days. I put it on my church family Facebook page for my church. I told them, I said, I know we can't be together. I got people scattered throughout, some in Louisiana, some up north in Newton area. I've got them scattered out going to churches everywhere today. And I just posted on our church family page. I said, I know we can't be together, but here's my sermon that God gave me for us today. The Bible says that after the flood, that Noah's ark landed on the top of the mountain. Watch this. Here's what the Lord showed me. Noah would have never got to that mountaintop without that storm. He was too old to climb that mountain. He was too attached to climb that mountain. But God said, I can take a flood. I can take a storm. And I can put you where you can never get by yourself. I've come to tell somebody in this building right now that what you are going through is going to put you places that you would have never got on your own. I got to hurry. It's 12:02. I'm cognizant of time. I got to hurry. But let me tell you this real quick and I'll be done. I did some study on the life of Job. How many of you read the book of Job? How many of you ever really read the book of Job? How many of you read the book of Job because you want to cry on Job's shoulder sometimes because you know he knows that you're going through what he went through? And yeah. Watch this. This trial in Job's life continues for 41 chapters. Just go with me for a minute now. 41 chapters of questions. 41 chapters of hurt. 41 chapters of wondering why. 41 chapters of watching it all cave in. You ever been there before? You don't think it gets any darker, and then it seems to get darker. The load can't get any heavier, and all of a sudden something else comes. 41 chapters of darkness and pain. 41 chapters of the greatest trial of his life. But Job understood it's just a chapter. It's not the whole book. If you read through chapter 41 and you quit, you are doing yourself an incredible spiritual injustice. You cannot stop Job's life in chapter 41. Because if you do, then your assumption will be that he died in misery and pain and suffering. If you just read through chapter 41 and you stop, you would tend to think Job died a wretched fragment of the man that he once was. But you can't stop reading the book in chapter 41. Here's what the Bible said. I love the wording of the Word of God. You've got to catch little words in Scripture. The Bible says, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends and give him double of everything that he had. You can't stop in 41, because when you get to 42, God's still turning pages. Can I ask you a question? Why are you done with your story when God's still turning pages for you? What right do I have to quit on God when he's still turning pages? Now here's the study that I did, and this excited me. I hope it'll help you, and I'm done. You would think that because this book's 42 chapters long, it would encompass the totality of Job's life. But the book of Job is actually penned in a very short time span. Some believe that Job's trial lasted just a few weeks or months. 41 chapters. Can you imagine going through what he went through in a few weeks or months? Jewish tradition says it was possibly a one-year trial. So let's give him the benefit of the doubt. Let's take Jewish tradition. And let's say that the first 41 chapters of Job's life takes place in that one-year time span. That trial of 41 chapters, Jewish tradition says, was possibly 1 year. One chapter after another, hurt, pain, suffering. But here's what I got to show you. Job chapter 42. This is my second title. The Bible says this. After this. Are you ready? Don't miss this statement. There's always an after this. Sister, would you put that picture of the church up there flooded again? If you can find that real quick. I don't mean to be a burden to you. I'm just throwing this on her, so there we go. There's always an after this. Would you put the next picture up now? The next picture right after that one. There's the after this. Now, I know today there's 7 to 12 inches of water in my church, but I promise you there's an after that. And the Bible says, watch, after this, after what? After all of his trials, after 41 chapters of trying to figure it out, after 41 chapters of trying to understand what in the name of God is going on in my world. My babies are dead. My finances are gone. My house has collapsed. My friends are no longer friends. I sat here scraping myself with broken pottery and the boils on my body. My life is infected. My body's infected. My spirit is almost infected. But he said, after this. Yeah. Here it is. How long was Job? Listen.
How long was it?
1 year. Are you ready? Here it is. You can stand right now because I got a feeling you're going to want to.
Come on. I like it.
Musicians, you can come. Sister Pugh and the musicians can come. Watch now. His trial was how long?
1 year.
Turn to your neighbor. Tell him how long Job's trial was.
1 year.
1 year. Turn to somebody else. Tell him. Is there anybody going through a trial right now? Would you lift your hand? Be honest right now. Listen to me. I got to read you something. I'm gonna add something, okay? It's not going to take away from Scripture. I'm just going to put some words. After 1 year, Job lived 140 years. After 1 year. See, we look at the book of Job and we go, oh dear God, that's 41 chapters. But do you understand that chapter 42 is 140 years?
Yeah.
Are you ready? I'm not done yet. And saw his sons and his sons' sons, even four generations. So Job died being old and full of days. 1 year of trial. Watch. And in chapter 42, God gives him a double portion. Hold on now, watch, watch. I got to get it right. He lives with a double portion for 140 years. That's why you can't quit in this chapter. This is why that the Deweyville church and this pastor is not going to let them die today. This is why my wife and I are going to stay in that church and pastor that church and preach the word. Because it may be a 1 year trial, but there may be 140 years of a double portion of God's blessing. Come on, somebody. I know it seems like you've been there a long time. I know I'm not the only one hurting in this building today. I'm telling you right now, my spirit hurts today. I want to be standing behind my pulpit this morning. I've got a message I've been working on. I was going to preach it today. Ready. I can't even get to my building. I got people displaced. I gotta ride a boat to get to my house. And right now, look in my sweating face and my tear-stained eyes when I tell you, I will not die in this chapter. Is there anybody in this building right now? I feel the Holy Ghost. That you'd run down to the front of this church and throw your hands in the air and say, I'm not dying in this chapter. Is there anybody that'll join me? There's already some here, but there's a bunch more of you that you need to run down to this front and you need to throw your hands up right now. And you need to say, I will not die in this chapter. I don't know what's going on right now. I can't figure out what's happening in my world right now. My kids have gone crazy. My marriage is on the rocks. I know I'm dealing with a natural flood, but there's some of you dealing with spiritual floodwaters that's taken everything you loved and enjoyed. But hear this preacher right now. You cannot die in this chapter. Stay in there, Job. You got another 140 years of double portion. Stay with it, Job. There's blessing on the way. I shall not die but live. chapter. But I'm not writing it, he is. But when we can turn the page, Job, you got a 1-year trial, but you got a 140-year blessing that's on the way. Come on, somebody. Maybe a 6-month trial, but let him turn the page. You got years of blessing. Stay in the book. Stay in the story. Stay in the chapter.